Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this evening? Did you have a great Cinnamon McKinney weekend? Did you notice there's this like big round thing in the sky and it puts out all this light? This was the first Sunday I went to the farmer's market and there was not a fog cover or cloud cover in like weeks and weeks and weeks. It was really great. So I hope you have enjoyed the weekend as much as I have. Did you go to the Gravenstein Apple Fair? Did you head up to Francis Ford Coppola Winery for the first of the Gravenstein Neighbors Markets after a two-year hiatus? No matter what you did, there were just really wonderful and delicious things to do in Sonoma County this weekend. And finally, heirloom tomatoes are in full swing. And this has been the weirdest year. What is it, April 14th, April 15th? I have not had a BLT yet. I always wait until there's like local tomatoes. And they just... Did I not say July?
April.
I said April. You know, it starts with an A. It's August. Sometimes my brain does that. Anyway, I haven't had a BLT yet. And I kept thinking I was going to get black pig bacon for the very first, but he's still a couple weeks away. So probably going to have my first BLT this week with local everything, and I'll find some local bacon, and then in another couple of weeks, I'll have the bacon from Black Pig, and he makes the most phenomenal bacon. Anyway, we're going to get to have a little bit of a summer here in Sonoma County, and it's interesting because everywhere else in the country, and perhaps the world, it seems this has been the hottest summer on record. And in Sonoma County, it's been like the coldest in something like 50 years or something like that. And I am sitting in the room with winemakers. We have John Belletto of Belletto Vineyards. We have Renee Bick of Paradise Ridge. And then bringing up the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission, we have Larry Levine. And we're still like at least a month before we start harvesting. Is that right?
At least a month. We're probably 3 weeks behind in West Sonoma County and 2 weeks behind in the Santa Rosa and the Russian River Valley.
So when was the last time we had a harvest this late?
I would say 1998 was the last time.
Oh, really? It was that late in 98?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Actually, I was out of the country a lot that year, so I don't remember real clearly.
But if we get some good sunny days, we're going to be hopefully catching up here soon.
Mm-hmm. And Renee, you're over in northeastern Santa Rosa.
Yeah, we're up.
So how's it looking over there?
We're about 3 weeks behind. The reds are starting to go through some veraison, so that's always good.
But, now, veraison, for people who don't quite understand, that means when the grapes start to take on color.
Yeah, yeah. Start getting ripe and all the energy is going towards the grapes and not towards the growing of the vine.
What is it that signals a grapevine to do that?
What signals the grapevine to start
turning color?
Well, it's the weather cycle what happens is the grape is going through. It starts when it first comes out in April. The buds are exploding, and you have about a 2-month growth cycle where the vines just put on 90% of their growth. And then when it starts to get the middle of July, you get the hot temperatures, and you let the tips of the vines kind of close down. And when
you say
of the
tip,
vines,
do you mean the tips where the leaves are out and you have those little like squiggly things that are
right.
the
you've
little leaves?
Right, you've got the tendrils on the
okay.
ends.
Yes, and, the tendrils.
And you have two choices. Either you start watering your vine at that point, or you let it kind of those things dry out. And once those things dry out, then all the energy starts going to ripening the grapes. And when it goes through veraison, if they're red grapes, they start changing color. If they're white grapes, they basically just start getting soft. And then the sugar content just starts mm-hmm. coming up in the grape, in the bunch of grapes.
Mm-hmm. And now for people who really don't know anything, a white grape is green. Correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Or if we're so fortunate in the Russian River Valley, if you... The Chardonnay is like a straw color mm-hmm. bunch, yellow bunch. When those things are 24, 25 bricks, it's just a beautiful
really
sight.
Yellow, yeah, that really yes. almost golden color.
Amber color, right.
Yeah, because yes, I've heard people say, I kept looking for white grapes, but everything seemed to be green. And you forget when you live in the midst of it that, well, white grapes are, you know, it's green.
Right. Yeah.
And the Pinot Gris we saw in the vineyard on Friday was even a different color.
That was really interesting. I should say we took a vineyard walk, and we were going to have some sound bites from that walk. And, you know, sometimes technology can be challenging. We don't have those excerpts, but we will eventually. We went like at 8 in the morning. We went all through Bolletto. And one of the things that's so wonderful about Bolletto is it's right there on the Laguna. And the Laguna de Santa Rosa is one of the most amazing features, geologic features of Sonoma County there. It just sort of stretches from, what, Cotati to Forestville, is that?
Well, it stretches from Cotati till, yes, Forestville, where it dumps into the, it intersects the Santa Rosa Creek and then also the Marquess Creek, and then it goes into the Russian River.
Uh-huh. And it's just, it's so beautiful there, and you're right on the edge of it. You're probably
Well, we're on the edge.
It, right?
We're, our plantings are anywhere, our plantings are pretty far away from the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a great influence in the springtime when it gets really cold, the temperatures, and right before we turn on our frost protection, actually, we get the influence of like a fog bank off of the Laguna that mm-hmm. tends to
right.
warm up our land down
so
there.
So the fog is
helps.
Actually protective.
Yes. It actually, it's kind of a natural frost protection,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great thing, and we're pretty fortunate, and it's very fertile farmland down there. Mm-hmm. Some of it's actually 12 feet deep.
12 feet deep, like
yeah.
topsoil kind of thing?
Yes.
12 feet deep?
Yeah.
That's
really amazing.
That's a lot.
And we got to really be careful on our uh-huh. vines, so we put in different rootstocks that aren't so vigorous, so mm-hmm. so they won't tend to just grow leaves and not mm-hmm. not produce grapes.
Right. So grapes, if a simple way to think about it, if I'm accurate, and I might not be, is a grape is the vine's investment in the future.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so if it has all this great soil and all the food it needs, it'll just put out leaves and leaves because, like, everything's going to be fine.
Well,
so it doesn't worry so much. And then if it's like, oh, wait, I better put out some grapes because I might not be here next week.
Well, Your fruit and bunches come from the little tiny buds that are on, and it all depends on how you prune it, how much bud wood you leave for the following year. And one of the key things is you need to leaf your vines early in the springtime. So we try to leaf them even before bloom so we get sunshine on those new buds. So, because that is our crop for next year.
Okay.
And it
so
just
leaf
depends
them,
on.
What does that mean, leaf them?
We take the leaves away from where the bunches are
okay,
on the
so
morning
you, okay,
side.
So
when
the
sun
the
comes
leaves.
Up in the morning.
Okay.
It's shining right on those new buds for next year, and it's also drying the fruit out and giving it that the good quality that we want for, mm-hmm. for Russian River Valley fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole line of grapes where the grapes were, there was no leaves there.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting. You had long, I'm not sure what to even call that, long canes
right.
with the grapes hanging down fairly low.
Right. Well, the grapes, they're actually 32 inches off the ground is where the coronal arm is.
Okay.
You don't want them too close to the ground, especially if you're in the Russian River Valley area where it tends to get pretty late on harvest. If they're too close to the ground, we could tend to get a lot of rot, a lot of influence from the soil. So we're between 30 to 32 inches off the ground is where our fruit zone is.
Uh-huh. And then above that, how much space do you leave above that before you
leave
out?
Well, we like to have 4 to 5 feet of area where for leaf area, which the more leaf space you have in leaf area, it helps ripen your crop quicker.
Okay.
You get the more photosynthesis throughout the vine, and it just really helps to ripen that bunching of grapes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we could probably go in this direction for the entire show, but one of the reasons that you're here is for this new project that, Larry, I think you were part of the inspiration for this, but both of the wineries, Paradise Ridge and Boleto, are involved, and it's a self-guided vineyard tour.
Well, it's called the Sonoma County Vineyard Adventures, mm-hmm. and what it is that we now have at 4 different wineries, we have 4 different tours. After harvest, there'll be 5 more. But at 4 different wineries now in Sonoma County, at any given time when the winery tasting rooms are open, people can come and take self-guided vineyard walks.
And who wants to go first in talking about what you get on that walk?
I'll step in here.
Okay, so this is Renee from Paradise Ridge.
Yes, Paradise Ridge is my family's winery.
Don't you say again where it is, Renee?
We're up in the Fountain Grove area, just right outside of Santa Rosa.
It's Thomas Lake.
Thomas Lake Harris Drive. So we're by the golf course up there, or above the Hilton or the Red Round Barn, if you're familiar.
It's one of the best views in the entire county.
Thank you. But the vineyard tours have been great. It's a great educational experience for a lot of the people who come up there, and we're starting to get more and more people who are coming up for the vineyard adventures. In our vineyards, we actually have a very diverse varieties in our vineyards. So we have in the vineyards that you tour, which is a Nagasawa vineyard and also part of the Hunsalars vineyard, you're going to get some Chardonnay, some Syrah, some Petite Syrah, a little bit of Grenache, a little bit of Zinfandel, a little bit of Alicante Boucher. And so it's great to educate people, because the more you can educate someone who comes up to your winery, the more interested they are in wanting to come back and learning more. So the vineyard walk talks about our soils, talks about what happens at different times of year in the vineyards, and you can see if you come back, we've had some people come back at different times, you could see the grapes growing and you know the veraison and the grapes ripening, and so the education is really something that we want to have people learn about, more about the vineyards and the soils and mm-hmm. the climates and what makes the Russian River Valley special. And mm-hmm. I think being able, there's not that many AVAs or viticultural areas or appellations that you can grow so many different varieties well. And that's what I think sets the Russian River apart from a lot of other appellations or AVAs.
Mm-hmm. So over there at Paradise Ridge, you are in the Russian River.
We're in the Russian River. When we first planted our vineyards, we actually weren't in the Russian River, but about 5 or 6 years ago, they redrew mm-hmm. the boundaries of the AVA, and that's when we got in. So mm-hmm. So we are in the Russian River. Our water drains into the Russian River, and we have the fog influence and the same soils. And we just planted some Pinot in one of our vineyards, too, so we'll be having some Pinot coming on board soon mm-hmm. from the estate.
So, John, let's talk a little bit about the tour at your place.
Well, our tour starts out up first. You come into the taste room, and if you want to, you can grab a glass of wine and take it on the walk.
And I recommend you do that.
And it's always good to calm everyone's nerves, have a nice glass of wine when you're starting to walk out. And we go through some Chardonnay, and then we end up in the middle where Pinot Noir, and then at one point we're actually at a corner where we have Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Gris all right there within 10
feet of
each other.
Yeah, it was like this little crossroads.
Right. And we have 3 different soils. Our vineyards and winery and tasting room are located at 5700 Occidental Road, right down there by the Laguna. We have 3 types of soil on 260 acres. And we have a heavy clay soil, we have a really fine sandy soil, and then also some silty loam. So we have to farm it all a little differently, but all the varietals seem to do very well. As we're taking the walk, we go through and we look at the different soils and the different varietals of grapes. Then we come upon, we have a baseball field that we actually put out there. We put it up 5 years ago for our crew. We have our crew has their own team. They play on Sundays, and it's actually a regulation hardball field. So it's kind of a nice treat for
people. It's great to come upon that when you're walking, and then suddenly there's this baseball field. It's
field
wonderful.
Of dreams. It yeah. really is a field of
yeah,
dreams.
Field of dreams right with next. No lights. We'll never have lights.
You'll never have lights. But no. during the day, you can see, I mean, you see the tree line to the west, and you just see that whole rim.
Well, plus you're standing up on that little elevation next to the uh-huh. irrigation pond, and you're looking overlooking that huge, beautiful view, and then you see the lagoon, and then you see the baseball field, and then just the beautiful acres of gorgeous vineyards.
Yeah,
it's just
it's a beautiful
stunning view.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location. One of the things I know that you have on your estate is, what is it called? An environmental easement?
Right. 7 years ago, my wife Terry and I, we sold 65 acres to the Sonoma County Open Space District, and it's all the land right along the Laguna, between our vineyards and the Laguna, and it stretches almost all the way to Highway 12, from Occidental Road to Highway 12, and they're now, actually, the Parks Department is starting to construct a trail through there.
Oh, so there will be a trail.
So
now
there will be a trail
through there.
Correct, and we're hoping to, at some point, from our tasting room, they can get the trail and actually walk to the town of Sebastopol. That's
really?
The goal. That's probably not going to take place for 5 years, uh-huh. but the trail should be constructed in the next 2 years, we're hoping, because mm-hmm. there's over 200 different varieties of wildlife that are down there on the Laguna. It's just fabulous, and there's a nest of eagles down there, and it's just a wonderful area for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, if you read, if you pick up the handbook that the Laguna de Santa Rosa Foundation published last year or the year before, you're going to read about all the different species of animals down there, and I know that there are ravens, you know, herons, egrets, all different kinds, and that's just the birds. There's a lot of mammals down there, too, as well. It's a really beautiful area. I love that space. We're going to take a little musical break here. We'll be right back and talk more about Sonoma County Vineyard Adventures.
Just gonna be you and me under that apple sucker tree.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. My guest this evening, Larry Levine of Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission. Yeah. Got it right?
Yeah, you know what that is? Let's explain what that is. The grape growers of Sonoma County, it's the 1800 grape growers of Sonoma County, 4 years ago decided to band together and create a state commission. And what it is, it's a marketing commission, and a percentage of the proceeds when they harvest a grape goes toward this marketing group.
Now, was this a rebirth, the Sonoma County Grape Growers?
Yes. Okay. It's just an evolution. And we're currently having an election right now for another 5 years, and hopefully at the end of August we'll have good news that they've reelected this so that we can keep continuing. Because what we're doing in Sonoma County, it's really unique, is that we work with the vintners and the Sonoma County Tourism. We share office space, and we really work together to promote Sonoma County. So I think it's really cool. And then we're able to create programs like the Sonoma County Vineyard Adventures. We create it, and then the vintners and the tourism help us to promote it.
And the way you have a website for this, and it's
For these adventures, it's SonomaVineyardAdventures.com.
Excellent. And we also have with us this evening John Belletto of Belletto Vineyards. Are you actually Santa Rosa? Or are you in San Sebastopol?
Our winery address is Santa Rosa.
I know, I see that, and it's like, no, you're in Sebastopol.
Yes. We're on the other side of the Laguna, so we have a 95401 zip code.
Okay.
Right, but we have lots of vineyards in West County, right. Sebastopol area.
I know them well.
Yes, and I grew up in Sebastopol, so yes. That's where my heart is. But we love Santa Rosa also. We have lots of farms out there, so it's just an imaginary line, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah, and then we also have Renee Bick of Paradise Ridge up off of Fountain Grove. And Renee, you brought some information about Nagasawa. Kanaya Nagasaka. He was a winemaker in Fountain Grove from 1852 to 1934.
That's when he lived. He was actually one of the first Japanese to immigrate to the United States, and he ended up meeting this guy named Thomas Lake Harris, which is the road that we're off of. And he originally they were growing grapes out in the Finger Lakes area of New York, mm-hmm. and they heard in the 1870s that Sonoma County might be a good place to grow grapes. So they came and settled up in the Fountain Grove area. And Kanaya Nagasawa actually worked with Luther Burbank on some viticultural advances. And he was known as the Grape King of California. And we have a historical exhibit at the winery about Mr. Nagasawa. And a lot of people don't know how important the influences of...
Has he slipped through the cracks?
For a lot of people, he has. But actually in City Hall, if you go down to City Hall, there's two busts in City Hall. One's of Nagasawa, the other's of Luther Burbank. So it's a part of the history of... Because of our location of the vineyards and the winery, we're kind of surrounded by Santa Rosa. And a lot of people don't realize that Santa Rosa used to be the heart of the wine country 100 years ago. But so we're trying to bring back some of the heritage of the land, because Fountain Grove was filled with about 500 acres of vineyards. And they produced about 30% of all the wine in Sonoma County at the turn of the century. And the Fountain Grove label, they were the first to export wines outside of the U.S. to the United Kingdom and to Japan. Mm-hmm. And it's just a piece of the history that, unfortunately, has gone away a little bit, and we're trying to bring back some of that.
When did it start to decline? What happened?
Prohibition. And also Thomas Lake Harris, who's actually a utopian society up there, and he got some bad press, and he was disheartened, and he moved back to his original colony in New York, and Nagasawa inherited his land. But at that time, there was a backlash against a lot of Asians, and they couldn't own land. They had to be legal citizens to own land and have the right to vote, and they couldn't. So Nagasawa couldn't pass his land on to his relatives. He didn't have any direct descendants, and he couldn't pass it on. So
what happened with it?
It ended up eventually being sold, and
if you were in that position where you couldn't legally pass on, the state would take it and then sell it.
No, I think it was sold. I think there was a legal battle to where the four the four people who were supposed to inherit this 1,500 acres up in Fountain Grove, I think, ended up splitting about $3,000. So it was something that was it's actually kind of a little bit of a tragic story, but it ended up, the land ended up going to a farmer, a rancher, and he pulled out all the vineyards and to graze cattle. And that's where the vineyards kind of disappeared to. But if you go up in Fountain Grove, the Red Round Barn was part of that Utopian Society. And you can actually see on Round Barn Boulevard the old winery. It's still standing. It's it's barely standing, but it's still there. So we have a historical exhibit about the life and times of Kenai and Nagasawa and the history of kind of the area of where we have vineyards.
And when did its Renaissance when did that begin?
When
Renaissance of...
Well, we planted our... My parents bought the land in 1978. We planted some vineyards in 78. So we've been growing grapes for about 30 years. And the actual... The Renaissance of the area and the history?
Yeah, as far as winemaking goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our first vintage was 91.
91,
but,
okay.
But the Fountain Grove label was sold and resold, and it's actually owned by someone, the Fountain Grove label, but...
But yeah, just the history of the—I guess you'd say the either the agricultural history or, you know, I think the agricultural history.
People think of Fountain
Names
Grove
come
now
and go.
As kind of
a housing development.
Yeah, a nice area up in Santa Rosa.
It's where the home of Traversos now.
Yeah, exactly, and Sante too.
Yes, Traversos and Sante. That I think that's doing a lot for that area. Both of those.
I think it was something that was needed, but a lot of people have no idea about what was up in those hills.
Absolutely,
you know? And it was actually the center of wine country at the time. So we're trying to just educate people that Santa Rosa used to be the middle of wine country. Now people stay in Santa Rosa to visit the wine country, but it wasn't always that way.
You know, it's so important to. I think to maintain that history or go back every, you know, generation or so and bring forward what has been forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really, it's important partly because it's interesting.
Yeah. And we've actually had this really nice following from the Japanese community. There's a documentary that's been filmed up there. We've had the consular general up there several times, and we get a lot of exchange students who come up to the winery and a lot of people from Japan who have heard about Nagasawa and want to learn more about his life and times, because his story is just an amazing story. I mean, he left his country as an 11-year-old son to be educated in the West, and the idea was to go back and teach. This was when Japan was isolationist, and all the 11 young samurais that went to learn about the West went back, except for one, and that was Nagasawa.
Really?
And he ended up becoming this winemaker. So it's an amazing story.
Yeah, it is. It's really fascinating. When looking in, both of you, John and Renee, you have wine bottles in front of you.
Yeah, we have some.
I think we should participate in that.
Okay, well, why don't we start? We have our Pinot Gris, our 2008 Estate Pinot Gris, Russian River Valley.
And let's get this glass in front of a microphone.
All right.
And all of these wines that we're having are wines that are from the vineyards that are along the vineyard walk.
Right. And we saw the grapes. And Larry, do you want to describe what those Pinot Gris grapes looked like?
Wow.
I remember using the term copper.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see the colors. They looked like normal grapes when they began, but then they were changing colors and they were turning like this copper color. It was really interesting that the red grapes that had gone from green to red, the Pinot Noir, and then the Chardonnay were just sort of going. They were changing a little bit of color too, but then these Pinot Gris grapes were turning to this copper color. And I don't, gris is grape, gray in French, but it looked more like a copper color to me.
And what's the idea? What do we want Pinot Gris grapes? How do they look when they're ready to pick?
Oh, that when they're, I would say copper is a good definition, but they're really a dark copper color, almost a light red color, and just a beautiful color, but we only press them out to a certain point. You get your color from your red wines, you get it from the skins as it sits on the skins, and then we only press them out to a certain point, and then that's what gives us the just the white juice. But you turn the bunch over, and it's got that really almost a light red copper Bronze would be the word.
The
bronze. A good redhead.
Yeah.
Bronze would be the way to call it. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And this is very nice. It's nice and bright on the palate.
Yeah, it's funny because yesterday I was reading the Wall Street Journal in the weekend section. There was an article on Pinot Grigio, and they were talking how most of it's garbage, which is the Italian equivalent of Pinot Gris. And it's interesting because I think in California we're really making nice Pinot Gris.
This is lovely.
Oh, thank you.
This is very food friendly. You know, it's got a nice bright feel on the palate.
Very refreshing.
Russian River Valley has some great Pinot Gris.
Yeah.
And Pinot Gris is actually the largest white wine. The largest selling white wine in Europe.
It is?
Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio?
Really?
Yes. The white wine, and it's been that way, I guess, for years. Now, maybe I'm wrong in the last couple of years. Maybe another bottle was taken.
It's true, but most of it is this stuff that is not very interesting.
Right.
It's sort of, you know, just like, well, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not very interesting white, dry white wine, but nothing like what this is.
Hmm. And we planted our first Pinot Gris grapes back in 1995 in West Sebastopol up on some land on Burnside Road. And we were one of the first ones to plant Pinot Gris out there. And now we have about 60 acres of Pinot Gris in the Russian River Valley in Sebastopol. And for Boletto Vineyards label, we make about 4,000 cases a year of this. Okay. And it's one of our top selling wines.
Now, before you had Boletto Vineyards, you grew vegetables.
I did. I started growing vegetables right out of high school in 1977 on 5 acres of land, and quickly we were, in 10 years, we were one of the largest producers north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And in the mid-90s, we had some land. We didn't have enough water to raise vegetables, and we planted some vineyards on it. And in the late 90s, 99, 2000, there were some economic problems with the vegetable business. It just wasn't working, so we started to convert more of our land to vineyards. And actually now by 2010, we have a little over 500 acres of vineyards in the Russian
Valley. And
you're
not doing vegetables anymore at all?
No, we've been out of vegetables now for 9 years.
Uh-huh. And I think you're pleased with that.
Well, you know it was a great business for us. And I still tell young farmers that's one of the ways to start. You get 1 acre of land with some water and invest a few dollars in seeds and some hard work, and you can start selling your crop and have immediate cash returns. So there is still some opportunities. Our business grew to the point we were shipping 2 million cartons of vegetables a year, very large employee force, and it just didn't, economically, it was at a point where we were going to have to relocate either to the Salinas Valley or to another area of the state, and we decided to plant more grapes because we have some beautiful soils in Russian River Valley, Sonoma County. And we're very happy that we did. The wine business, just loved the wine business. It's just a great family business, and we have some great employees that work for us. And
and you've done really well since you released your first wines.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, you have a really good reputation. I know your wines. I think your wines are lovely.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And really reasonably priced, I think. Great value.
Yes.
The quality of the wines are great values.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we hope more people come out and visit our tasting room on Occidental Road. So.
Yeah, and you know,
the
vineyard walk is really sweet because you can do it at your leisure. What time do you open? Do you open at 10 or 11?
We open at 10 o'clock every day, and we're open till 5.
And I think people should go at 10. You know, I'm for the morning, partly because
it's cool.
It's cool, and not just that. Animals, if you're going to see birds flying over, wildlife is active in the morning, and they're active in the late afternoon. They're less active in the middle of the day. And one of the things that's delightful, I mean, one of the benefits about being there on the Laguna is the possibility of seeing and interacting with, you know, at least walking in the same area as some of the wildlife. And that's, I mean, the Laguna de Santa Rosa is one of the treasures of Sonoma County. It's an amazing, amazing resource.
Yes, exactly.
And all these, I want to add that all the four vineyard walks are less than a mile. They're very, relatively easy.
They're really easy.
They're really strolls, and they're meant for all ages.
They're not hikes.
No, they're not hikes. They're strolls. That's why we call them vineyard tours, because they're really strolls. They're meant to be for people to go at their leisures. Everyone gets a guide, so they're self-guided and with stops along the way. So you really can go at your own speed and very leisurely. So, you know, it's not like you have to rush or anything.
and just bench like at that one site at John's where you can see that beautiful view. There's a bench there, so you can literally just sit there and really look at it.
There's a bench. You can watch the ducks
yeah.
that are on the irrigation pool. You can sit there and look at the tree line beyond the laguna. It's just, it's a way to get a little bit further out into nature without wondering if you're trespassing.
But when you're allowed to be there. I mean, there's except for in this here, there's very few other opportunities where you can literally go into vineyards and be able to spend as much time as you want.
Yeah. Now, we're finishing up this Pinot Grigio, and I want, Renee, what do you want us to try, Renee?
I got two different wines that come from the vineyard. One we call the Posse. It's a blend of it's a Syrah-based blend, mostly 68% Syrah with some Grenache and some Petit Syrah and a little splash of Zinfandel. So we only made about a couple hundred cases of this wine.
Let's see. I'll pass my glass this way.
And this is only available at the winery because we made a limited amount. But it's something that we're very proud of because we were making a Syrah and we decided to go with the Syrah-based blend. And we buy some fruit, but we found that some of the best fruit that we have comes from our own estate vineyard. So we wanted to make something that exemplified. We call it kind of a California Rhone style blend. Or someone recently said, a Rhone Findel.
Oh no, a new word.
Rhone Findel, that's good.
So it's tell me again. It's Syrah,
Grenache. It's a Syrah, Grenache, a little bit of Petit Syrah, and a splash of Zinfandel.
Okay.
So it's a field blend.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. It would go great with a nice New York steak.
Yeah,
it would. It absolutely would.
Well, we tried to get a little bit away from Syrah just because we wanted to concentrate a little bit more on Zinfandel. So
yeah, it's got a fuller and deeper sort of darker quality. What's the alcohol in this?
It's, I could read, 13.8.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we only make a couple hundred cases a year, and it's something that my brother-in-law is actually our winemaker. He loves making this wine because some of those varietals will also go into our Zin because our Zin mm-hmm. also has a little bit of Petit Syrah.
Now what's your brother's name?
His name's Dan Barwick. He's been making our wine since 1998.
Uh-huh.
But he has an interesting background. He started at the cellar at Matanzas Creek. He worked at Ferrari Corona for about 7 years. And then him and my sister got married, and they traveled around the world. And he spent a year in France making wine, a year in South Africa, and a year in Australia. And mm-hmm. when he came back, so he learned different techniques along mm-hmm. the way in these different countries. So so when he came back, we wanted to give him a shot, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep. It was family.
Give him a shot.
Now, that's a good thing. When the family's working during harvest, they can never say, hey, it's 10 o'clock, I'm going home.
If I have things correct, Paradise Ridge is known for a couple of things other than the view and the wines that you make. You have like a sculpture garden, right?
We have a 5-acre sculpture garden. It's called Miraculous Grove in honor of my mother. And it's a rotating art exhibit. It's pretty big sculptures, and mm-hmm. I think this is the 14th year that we've had it, and it usually shows Sonoma County sculptors, but mm-hmm. it's not exclusive to mm-hmm. to just Sonoma County.
So it's not a permanent installation. It's rotating.
It's rotating exhibit, and what's nice is it really gives like 90% of the proceeds of the sales goes to the artists. Where
oh, nice.
There's a lot of galleries
nice.
That to maybe 50 take per, half,
50 or yeah. 60.
So yeah. it's really to support the art, and we get so many people who come up there and just want to walk through there, and there's benches to sit on and uh-huh. picnic tables and just relax and kind of escape, and it's something that. That we've had so many visitors up there, and it's something that it's my dad's passion. He's not an artist, but he loves sculptures mm-hmm. and he loves giving back. And we had a couple exhibits actually that were the Green Center here mm-hmm. in Runner Park is going to have a sculpture garden. So some of the pieces are going to end up there too.
Uh-huh. Nice. You're also known for, I think it's.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, please.
I have to. I think it's world class, and I think it's spectacular. I mean, I agree. It's truly a treasure in Sonoma County that artists have a place like that to be able to exhibit their sculptures in such a beautiful natural backdrop.
Yeah,
is truly amazing. And now to be able to do both a vineyard walk and to see those sculptures, people can spend like 2 or 3 hours there and really have a nice time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take the vineyard walk, then go into the sculpture garden and have a picnic, you know, and buy some wine, and I think you can have a really nice little afternoon there.
Yeah. You're also known for, is it Friday nights?
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. Okay, tell us about that, because I think this is a really nice thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so for almost since we've opened, we've been open on Wednesday evenings, and we stay open until sunset, and we allow people to come up, and they can bring a picnic and sit out on our decks and watch the sunset.
Yeah.
So it's so we're open until about 9 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, and usually runs April through October, depending. It's kind of when daylight savings kicks in, it starts, and when it kicks out, it ends. But it's been a very popular event because there's not that many public places in Sonoma County that you can go to that have wonderful views. And I mean,
on a clear day,
we can see, you know, the mountains of Point Reyes National Seashore. So we can see about 40 or 50 miles to the south and over the whole Santa Rosa Plain and a big part of the Russian River Valley and also the Laguna. And you can see, you know, you can see where the Sebastopol Little Gap comes in. And, and a lot of times in the morning, this year is a little different, that you can get up to the winery in the morning. We're about 800 feet above the valley floor, and you'll be above the fog, and the whole, it'll just look like, you know.
You've got the sea of white.
The sea of white below you, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now, is there anything particular about the sunset when there's no fog? Is there anything particular about the sunset from Paradise Ridge? Anything?
When there's no fog?
Fog and...
I mean,
in Hawaii, you hear about the green flash. You know, there's different things that you hear about with viewing sunsets in different areas.
I always like some clouds in the sky during sunsets.
For that really dramatic coloring.
Colors, but yeah. I always think one of the things that I like that you were mentioning about John's property is, like, you can actually see the outlines of the trees on the hills that are 20 or 30 miles away, and you could just see them, and it's just like this, you know, kind of a jagged, like, ridge, and you see the fog rolling in when the fog comes in. You know, I'm used to it now. I can see the fog rolling in. I know it's going to be a cool evening. The fog staying out, I know that that's what we want right now. It's like, we want the fog to stay out. We want some nice warm days. We want our grapes to get ripe.
We want the fog to stay out about 3 weeks.
I think we're going to do a Sundance soon.
Okay, we're going to try another wine. What do we have next?
This is a Bledo Russian River Valley Estate Pinot Noir.
Excellent.
What year is this?
2008. We're almost sold out of this. We'll be sold out of this in about a month.
But how many cases do you make of...
Of the 2008, we made about 3,000 cases. Mm-hmm. And we're scheduled to... We bottled 4,000 of the 2009, and currently we grow about 220 acres of Pinot Noir, so we actually grow enough Pinot Noir to make about 75,000 cases, but we sell 90% of our grapes to other people. This, our estate Pinot, our winemaker, Anthony Backman, he's able to get grapes off of our ranch on Occidental Road, our ranch off of Burnside Road, and a couple other ranches that we have in the Russian River Valley. And then he takes the blends from those different ranches and makes our estate Pinot Noir, and just a fabulous wine.
Yeah, it's a lovely, it's really beautiful.
It's very nice.
So it's got that delicate, pretty satin quality.
Yeah, it's very, the wines from Russian River are very fruity.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of explode in your mouth.
Now, John, you grew up in Sebastopol, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when you were a kid? Were you drinking Russian River Pinot Noir?
You know, I wasn't drinking Russian River Pinot Noir.
So I was
eating Gravenstein apples, so.
Yeah.
And the train ran through the middle of town.
Yes.
And there wasn't one-way streets. There were two-way streets. And it was a great place.
Actually, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Anley High School. And proud, dumb Anley Tiger Blue. I bleed blue. It's a big place in my heart. And my brother, 7 years older than me, worked in the apple canneries in the summers. And sometimes they didn't open the schools until, you know, they had enough other help because they used a lot of the high school kids to pick prunes and apples mm-hmm. and other fruits. And so it was a great time to grow up. And I tell my daughters all the time how lucky we were. Our mothers never took us to school unless it was raining and we couldn't get the bus.
You
walked to school. You rode your bicycle to school. Mm-hmm. You walked down the railroad tracks. The train, actually, where I grew up in the Hessel area, the train went right by our house.
Oh, you grew up in Hessel area?
Yes.
And Mama didn't drive you to Annalee?
No. You know, we rode our bikes.
That's great.
What we did. And we walked, and it was just a great time. And that was in the late 60s, early 70s. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty fortunate to grow up in a mm-hmm. small town like that. That was back when there was a supermarket in every corner down in that area.
Well, when I moved to Sebastopol initially, the train was still coming through town.
Yes.
And it was still two-way.
Yeah. So we used to try to hitch a ride on the train through town once in a while, but we won't talk about those stories.
And Renee, you grew up in the Fountain Grove area?
No, I was born and raised in Santa Rosa. We lived off of Hidden Valley Drive in the Hidden Valley area.
Okay.
So my parents bought the land in 78, and I went to Cardinal Newman High School. So it's right down the hill from where our land is.
Uh-huh, but he's now living in the same house you grew up in, though,
now,
right?
No, I'm living in the same house I grew
up. You are?
Yeah. Very happy to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. I mean... Santa Rosa is obviously bigger than Sebastopol, but I remember looking at the signs. It's like, you know, 42,000 people. What are we at? 175? So it's grown a lot.
Well, I remember when I finally lived here. I mean, I've been coming to Sonoma County since I was two. And when I finally moved here, I was 21, I think, 21 or 22. And the population of the county was something like 75,000. Is all. The only time there was a traffic jam on 101, if there was a traffic stop, if there was any stall at all, you knew there was an accident. And it would happen like once every, I don't know, 5 or 6 months. It was just completely different. And I remember I'd go, you know, I might go to a club to go dancing or hear music or something, and, you know, some guy'd want to buy you a drink. He'd say, "Oh, you live in Sonoma? What is that, 3 or 4 hours away?" And I just, at that point, it's like, oh, man, people are going to find out. You know, I commuted to San Francisco State for a while, and I lived in Lakeville. And I could get from my house in Lakeville, Petaluma, to San Francisco State in 30 minutes. And for years, I just knew right over my shoulder, it's like, this is going to change. It's going to be discovered. And it was.
And all the people like me moved up from L.A.
It's your fault. And now it does take 3 or 4 hours. We're going to take a little musical break and quit reminiscing and come back and talk more about Vineyard Adventures.
Broken hearts, cold by, wondering where you are, soaking dreams.
Mouthful. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Time flies on Mouthful. I think something happens and it just speeds up because an hour feels like 20 minutes. So we're trying one more wine from Paradise Ridge. What is this, Renee?
This is our 2006 Estate Zinfandel. It comes from the Hunsalars Vineyard.
And where is that vineyard?
The vineyard. That vineyard's part of the vineyard.
It's part of
the vineyard tour. Hunsalars comes. My mother was Dutch, and that was her. That was her maiden name. And this is about 85% Zinfandel and about 10% Petite Syrah, and a little splash of Syrah in it. It's not. It's 14.5 alcohol, so it's not like 16% like some Zins are getting. And I love it. This is a. I'm a big Zinfandel fan. It's like my favorite varietal to drink on the red side of things just because it's so diverse and can go with everything from a cheeseburger and pizza to the nicest piece of meat you can
find.
And
also just, it always has this richness, this depth on the palate. When Nagasawa was, you know, a vintner there, Are there any vineyards, any vines left from him at all, or were they all ripped out?
Everything was ripped out, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, my mother actually worked with the Sonoma County Museum to get some of the artifacts that, that they had from there. So the exhibit's nice at the winery. It's really nice. You can see Nagasawa was a tiny guy. So my mom actually, I think he was only like 5 feet tall or something like that. She could fit into his suit.
Well, it's really a great thing that you have the historical exhibit.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's so important to keep that history of what has gone before and sort of build on, if not that success, certainly build on, you know, the forefathers of what.
I agree. I mean, on our labels it says family, art, history, and nature, and that's what we want to try to do. Is we want to try to be kind of a complete wine country experience that you can go to with a family that, and it's not just concentrating only on wines. You can go, you can do the vineyard adventures. You can go to the sculpture garden. You could learn a little bit about history. You could picnic and enjoy nature. So it's something that we feel everybody can enjoy themselves up there, whether they love wine or love art or love nature or whatever.
Yeah. There's so much. I mean, wine at its best, I think, is just part of life. It's part of almost everything we do. And I know, just as a real quick aside, last night I went up to Motion Vineyards on West Side Road because they were showing a movie. And they showed Blue Hawaii.
Outside
with popcorn, and their Amber had a crock pot of butter, and people were there with their wraps and stuff, and it was a great audience. Everyone cracked up. It made me think, God, what's next? A drive-in theater? And it was like, what a great thing to be doing outside at a winery. And all of these things that, I mean, wine is great. Anyone who knows me knows I think that. But then to build on it with other ways for all the family members to get involved, it's just a great thing. And on this note, we're almost out of time. So real quickly, to find out, first of all, Boleto Vineyards is 5700 Occidental Road, right, couple miles.
2 miles west of Fulton Road, right across from Hannah Winery.
There we go. And Paradise Ridge.
We're off of Thomas Lake Harris Drive, 4545, but we're up in the Fountain Grove
just
area.
Just off of a Fountain Grove.
And our website's ParadiseRidgeWinery.com or PRWinery.com.
And to take advantage of the Vineyard Adventures.
It's SonomaVineyardAdventures.com, SonomaVineyardAdventures.com.
And there's also no charge for it. It gets people out in the vineyard for free to get a little bit closer to, you know, wine as an agricultural product.
Right.
And to see it actually happening.
Absolutely. And I wanted to say they're also at Matanzas Creek Winery in Bennett Valley and also Morton Winery in Dry Creek.
And then at some point, Francis Ford Coppola Winery is coming on as well, right?
In the fall, there'll be five more. Right after the first rains, after harvest, we'll have five more in Francis Ford Coppola and also Michelle Chambrisay. And three more will be coming on.
Right.
The first rains won't be till December 1st.
Yeah. Right.
We're about to do our dance.
If we're lucky. And on that note, you know, I think it's time for you, if you haven't already, have yourself a glass of wine and meet me back here.
Cheers.
next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour here on KRCB Public Radio for Sonoma County. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week.